First John chapter 3, we're going to be looking. Now, I've done did verse 17, but I'm going to mention it again. 17 to 24 is what we're going to be looking at this evening. Now, the purpose of the book of 1 John is that you may know you have eternal life. Really, there's two purposes of it. 1 John 1, 4, I want you to turn there and look at it. Here's the first purpose. These things that we write, we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, God's people are expected to be joyful. Does God's people have a reason to be joyful? Oh, yeah. Of all people in the world, God's people ought to be happy. And if you're close, I'm going to tell you this. If you're close to Jesus, you'll have a full joy. If you drift in closeness to Jesus, then you'll find your joy will wane a good bit. But that's what it's for. 1 John chapter 5, here's our second one. 1 John chapter, or I'm in Jude. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and He's given us an understanding that we may know Him is true. And that is true. We are in Him. That is the true, even in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So let's go ahead and go back to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll work our way through this particular chapter. 1 John chapter 3. Now let me go ahead and read down through it, and then we'll have another word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. Verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and shutteth up his, I'm sorry, but whoso has this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, that's a common name that John uses for the church here. It said, my little children, let us not love in word, in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's true of all of us, isn't it? For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we will receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Verse 24, he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in them. And hereby we do know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for this great privilege of being in the Elizabeth Baptist Church again. And Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's here this evening. And Father, we're thankful that you in your grace have seen fit to plant a church here and been here a good while. And Father, we pray that we continue to see souls saved and added to this assembly. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and amen. Now, I'm going to title this evening, Love Indeed, and in Truth. Love Indeed, and in Truth. Now, a lot of times people talk about love, but when it comes down to showing it, it's not indeed, and it's not in truth. Sometimes it's just somebody, you know, it's not kind of speaking from their lips instead of from their heart. So we're to love in what? We're to love our brothers and sisters from our heart, and we're to love our God more than anything. You always got to keep that in proper balance. We're to love our God. That's the greatest commandment, isn't it? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your mind. He wants us to love Him that way. He also wants us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to love one another. And we're to love one another even when we're not so lovable. Sometimes God's people ain't real lovable. Y'all agree? I'm always lovable, but Stewie's not. But we're to be lovable towards one another. We love one another. We're to love God above all things, but then we're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means, what's it mean? we come to one another's aid. We pray for one another. Somebody needs help, and we help them. We do what we can. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's one of the great things that make people feel comfortable in a church is when you have a congregation that loves one another. All right, we're going to start verse 17, and let's go ahead and work our way down. Remember, the title is Love in Deed and in Truth. This is a real love, not a put-on love, but a real love. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. All right, verse 17, Whoso hath this world's good. And, of course, you can see that in the world today. There's some people that have a lot, and there's some people that have plenty, and God's people, oftentimes, the Lord have seen fit to bless them with things. Are you thankful for the things that God's given you? I mean, every day of your life, you should thank Him. If you take what we have here in America compared to some of the other countries of the world, there's no real comparison. I mean, you could go into other nations and they don't have air conditioning and they don't have a lot of the great comforts that we have here. Food. I mean, I really don't worry about food, do you? I don't even give that a second thought. But in other parts of the world, people are starving. So the Lord has tremendously blessed this nation. The problem is many people don't recognize who's blessing it. And who is blessing it is the Lord. God is the one that feeds us. God is the one that causes our economy to grow and be strong. God's the one that does that. And I think the reason why God does it is because He's got a lot of people here. He's got a lot of people in this nation still yet. Now, there's still a lot of people. I realize there's a lot of people that's lost in America and all that. But there's still, I would say, more of God's people in America than in any other nation. I really believe that. Churches in all kinds of different cities, in all kinds of different towns. He has His churches there to spread the gospel and teach, minister the ordinances. And I'm thankful for all of that, aren't you? God has blessed this nation, and we need to be thankful for that every day of our life. So, the Lord has blessed us, I believe, with plenty. Do y'all believe that? He's blessed us with plenty. We have all the main things, don't we? And we all have, and many of us have all the extras that goes along with it, too. The Lord's blessed us, and you ought to thank Him for it every day. But He says, if you have this world's good, and you see your brother have a need, sometimes God will place one of your brothers or sisters in Christ right in your way so that you can help them. Sometimes God will bless you with a little bit extra so that you can help people that are in need. So He says, whosoever sees or hath this world's good and he sees his brother have a need, but he shuts up his bowels. It's like saying our hearts. That's how they used it. But I mean, it's basically the same idea as your heart. Shutteth up your bowels of compassion from him. Now watch what it says. How dwelleth the love of God? How dwelleth the love of God in him? God expects his people come to the aid of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can see that a lot. You can see that a lot. I see that a lot. Sometimes when I'll do funeral services and I'll go there and then the people's church comes to it. And they're supporting one another in it. And it's encouraging to see. They come to one another's aid. And that's the way it always should be. But it says here, but if you see your brother have a need, but you shut up your bowels of compassion, which is basically talking about your heart. It's basically talking about your heart. It says, how dwells the love of God in him? He expects you to show love to your brothers and sisters. Now, I'm going to give you an example of verse 17. Does that sound good? I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. This is a text you know real well. Luke chapter 10, and the verse 25. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verse says 25. Notice what it says here. Notice what it says in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What readest thou in the law? That's the first five books of the Old Testament. What do you read in the law? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So we seek to help others. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we do that, that's keeping the law. That's what he wants us to do. Very important that we do that. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 10, and let's look at verse 30 now. I want to read this to you. I don't want to preach on the whole thing. I just want to read it. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, and they wounded him, beat him up, and they departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest. Now, who were the priests? They were the ones that offered the sacrifices at the temple. They were the religious men. They were the religious men at the temple. They were the religious men in Jerusalem. That's who they were. So a religious man should have helped somebody. Y'all agree? Here's a religious man. He would have made his boast of God. A priest, that's the ones that offered the sacrifices. They knew the law. They knew all of those things. But when this priest came by the way and he saw this man, what did he do? He passed him by. He didn't help him. He didn't come to his aid. He had a religious title, but he didn't have religious action. And there's a lot of people that way. There's a lot of people that way. Number two, let's look at verse 32. Now we're talking about the Levite. And likewise the Levite, that's another. They assisted the priests at the temple. These were religious men. Levites were known as being religious men, and so was the priest. They should have been people that knew the law and followed the law. They should have been the ones that did that, okay? Verse 32, so likewise a Levite, when he was at a place and came and looked on him and passed by on the what? He passed by on the other side. He seen he was hurt, but he didn't want to get what? Didn't want to get involved. Didn't want to get involved, so he just left the man there. There's an opportunity to help someone that was in need. This was a Levite, religious man. Didn't help him. Just left him lay. Okay? Verse 33. Now, it mentions the Samaritan. So these other two men was a priest and a Levite. Both of them worked at the temple. Both of them had a religious job, so to speak, and all that. So he mentions the Samaritan next. The Samaritans was known as being sinners. The Jews hated the Samaritans. Hated them. So here comes a Samaritan. Now, this would have really offended the Jews, too, by the way. This would have really offended them, especially when they mentioned the Samaritan doing the good in the text. This is Jesus preaching here. Jesus is preaching. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came and where he was. And when he saw him, what did he do? Had compassion on him. Compassion is Christian. There's a lot of people out there that needs a little bit of compassion. They might not understand a lot about Bible things, but they understand what? Understand compassion. Sometimes God will set somebody in your way so that you can show them what? But you know what? The time we live in, I just don't want to get involved. They might steal my billfold or something. That's pretty much how everybody is anymore, isn't it? But sometimes God will literally set someone in your way. I'm going to use an example. This is not a very good example, but I'm almost half embarrassed to use it. But I was going to, had to go to the doctor down to St. Mary's and had Debbie with me. Always in a hurry. She back there, next door, good. Always in a hurry. Always in a hurry, you know. So what I did is I went up, parked the car, and then there's this old woman there. I don't know how, I think she's in her 80s. And what she did, Lonnie, she pulled in a bad way. And you know what? The car pulled in, right, and she could not get out. She was by herself. Totally by herself. So I went over to her. I said, "Doll baby, is you all right?" She said, "Yeah." "I can't get out of here." I said, "Well, let me see if I can get it out." And I tried and I couldn't. I was afraid I would have scratched the other car. I know why she didn't get out. But so I was afraid that perhaps that I'd hit it. She just tore all to pieces. And I said, "Now, I'm not leaving you. I will not leave you. I'm going to stay here till somebody comes," because she's about ready to start crying. I said, "I'll stay here till somebody comes. And if nobody comes, I'll stay here all day if I have to. I just want you to be calm. Don't you worry about it." So eventually I finally got a hold of the people there, and they was able to eventually get her out. Do I think God set her in that way or put me in that place? If you think as a stroke of luck that I parked that close, God will set people in your way, and He means for you to do what? Help them. Help them. That's what the Lord expects these people to do. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's what you see in this. The two religious men in the text never helped. They seen he had need, and they seen he was beaten, but they never helped. They never gave him any water. They never helped him up. They never got somebody that could help. They just didn't want to get what? That's where everybody's at today, though. America's getting the same way. They don't want to get involved. They might steal something. They might steal something. They might get something from you. Well, sometimes God sets people in your way. That's why I'm putting you on alert. Sometimes God will set people in your way so that you can do what? Help them. And what does that speak to the people around you? Bet that man, here's what they'll, bet that man or I bet that woman's a Christian. That's how God's people all, since, hey, all the way back, God's people have been known for helping people. What's it say about Jesus went about doing what? What's the Bible say about Jesus when he was here on earth? It says that Jesus went about doing what? He went about doing good. What should we do as God's people all the way down to the day? Look to do good. Look to help people. Sometimes God will set somebody in your way, and He means for you to help them. And you know what they'll know when you do? Bet you're a Christian. Because God's people historically come to people's aid. It's all God's people say. That's a glorious thing. Let me give you this. I quoted this, but I'm going to give it to you so you can mark it. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. I want you to get these in your Bible so you can use it. Acts chapter 10 and the verse 38. Notice what the Bible says about him, verse 38 of Acts chapter 10. Mark this in your Bible if you mark in your Bible. I do. It says in verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." And notice what it says about Jesus here. He went about doing what? He went about doing good. Now, what should we, all of us here tonight that's saved and born again and work on different jobs and are in different places, what should we do? Pray for opportunities to do good. And God, and I'm telling you what the Lord will do. He'll set people in your way so that you can come to their aid and help them. Is that a blessing to be able to do it? Oh, it is a blessing to be able to do it. And people know that you're probably a what then? A Christian. They know you're a Christian. All right, let's go back to our text in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So he mentioned in verse 17, he said that you shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwells the love of God in you? You see somebody in a need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion, your heart. God's people need to have a tender heart. Tender-hearted people. Go out to people that are hurting or have some kind of problem. Now let's look at verse. Now remember, it says, how dwells the love of God in someone that sees their brother have a need and don't help them? See, he's questioning. What's he questioning in that? He's questioning their salvation, isn't he? How dwells the love of God in someone that sees their brother in need and don't do what? The Lord's the one that said, how dwells the love of God in them? God expects us to come to people's aid. And God will oftentimes put you in a place where the only one that can help is you. All God's people say it. Okay. It says, my little children, let us not... That's a good name. And all through 1 John, he calls us my little what? My little children. Isn't that a good... Think about that. My little children. Are we special to the Lord? Oh, can I ask you a question while I'm thinking about it? Are you a little children? If you're here tonight, have you trusted Jesus? And that's true. If you're here today and born again, guess what? You're one of the Lord's little children. He also calls you sheep. He loves you dearly. He loved you since before the world ever began. He's a wonderful Savior, isn't he? So he calls them, and you'll see that many times in the book of 1 John where he refers to God's people as little children. That's how he views them. He loves you. Nobody loves you like he does. We sing a song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that's true. So he says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So one of the evidences of being born again is what? Is we love in deed and in truth. And what does that show us? It assures our hearts before him. And what that means is, it's an evidence of being born again. Old preachers used to say if it had a bill and quacked, had feathers, what is it? All that evidence shows what it is. Same thing with being a Christian. God's people show certain evidences of being born again, and that you should show the evidences of it. And one of those evidences is you seek to help people who are in need. Just like the Good Samaritan. Here you had two religious people seeing them there. Well, they might be crooks. I don't want to help. That's not what they said. They could be crooks. I don't know that. But in the scriptures, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, two religious men, the priest and the Levite, went right by. But the Samaritan, and the Samaritans was known for being heathens, he took the time to pour oil and wine in his cuts, bandaged him up. Listen to me. Set him on his own horse. Which means he had to do what? Took him to a place where he could get help. Here's what he did. Took him to a place where he could get help and gave money And he said, I'll be back here maybe next week, and whatever more it costs to keep him, I'll pay you when I get here. All God's people said. That's what being a Christian is. It's not the cause of you being a Christian, but it's what Christian historically has always been. Let me tell you what's wrong. God's people are getting meaner. When the times are getting meaner, and in many cases, God's people is getting meaner. Don't want to get involved with anybody. Don't want to get involved. Sometimes God will place you in a situation, and he'll mean for you to help somebody. And you're the only one that can do it at that particular time. All God's people said again, amen. All right, let's move on down to verse 20. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Think about that text. Sometimes, do you think that sometimes, I want you to hear this now. Do you think sometimes that Satan will cause you to doubt your salvation? I'm asking. See? Now, this is where this text here comes in. It says, if our heart condemn us. Your heart's basically talking about your mind. And it says, if our heart condemn us, what's greater than your heart? God. God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. He's greater than your heart. He's greater than your thoughts, and he knows all things. The devil, I think, tries sometimes to get you to doubt your salvation. How do you know you're saved? Now, don't answer me. How do you know you're saved? How do you know? Well, there's really only one way you can know. Turn to Romans 10. I could quote this real easy, but I want you to get this. How do you know you're saved? Do you always feel saved? Have you ever felt like you was lost or felt like you wasn't where you needed to be or something along that line? Beloved, you don't go by your feelings. Your feelings is up one day and down the next. You know what you go by? Go by the Scriptures. Now, in Romans 10:13, this is a classic text that I've quoted all the time, but Romans chapter 10, and I want you to notice verse 13. Romans 10 and the verse 13. I'm thinking too many steps ahead. Look down at verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall do what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Y'all believe it? Does that mean if you call on the name of the Lord and ask him to save you, does that mean that he'll save you? Do we have an example of that? We got the verse. Oh, I got other verses, but I'm going to hang my hat on that one. But we got an example of it too, don't we? Give it to you all the time when you talk about the thief on the cross. Two sinner men, lost men, both mocked. Well, I want to tell you something, buddy. Old Mount Zion conviction got a hold of one of them. Got a hold of him. And his whole demeanor, everything changed when the Holy Spirit worked on that man's heart. Everything changed. So what did he do? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did he say? Today thou shalt be with me. He died that day, didn't he? He died that day. Where did he go? Paradise. What saved him? He called. He called. And Jesus saved his soul. His sin charged to sin charged to Jesus. Righteousness of Christ charged to him. Saved him same way he saves us today. That's a glorious thing, ain't it? Let's go back to First John. I want to get this done. Not 1 John, but to where I'm at, I want to get it done today. I hope so. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So sometimes your heart will condemn you, but God is greater than your heart. Aren't you glad of that, that He's greater than your heart? And God can give you, what you need to have is assurance. Do you have assurance about your salvation? Do you know you're saved? I always get nervous when someone says, well, I think I am. Too much is riding on this thing for you to think. You got to know it for a fact. And how do you know? How do you know you're saved? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Y'all believe it or not? That means if you do that, He'll save you. He'll give you everlasting life, and He'll make you His child. That's exactly what He'll do. Let's go ahead. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Confidence towards God. Assurance. The great thing about a true salvation is knowing you're saved. Sometimes I'll talk to people and I'll say, well, are you saved? They say, well, I think I am. You don't want to think you are, you want to know you are. How can you know? I'm asking. How can you know for sure you're saved? Well, I was in the church and the lights blinked off and on, and I took that as a sign that I saved. Is that what you base it on? What do you base it on? Word of God. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what again? Saved. What did a thief do? Called. What did Jesus do? He saved him. Is that simple? It seems simple, but it really isn't for folks. You got to totally trust Him. You can't trust your deeds. You can't trust baptism because it doesn't save you. You can't trust all your good works. There's an old hymn we used to sing, I dare not trust trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I want you to know I know I'm saved. Do you know you're saved tonight? Do you know you've trusted Him as your Savior? Are you saved to know it? Have you called and trusted Him? That gives you confidence. Let's move down to verse 22. Goodness, time's rolled by. I got to get to 24. You think I can do it? What do you think, Henny? How about you, Stu? You're my buddy, ain't you? Oh, yeah. Thank you, bud. All right. Verse 22, and whatsoever we receive of Him, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His what? Now, we don't always get everything we ask, though, do we? Because sometimes we ask amiss. But when you're walking in a close fellowship with the Lord, you pray more in tune with His will. All God's people say it. So He says, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive Him because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. That's what we're supposed to do. We keep His what? Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandment. There's all kinds of different kinds of scriptures that mention things that we need to do. Look at Rick. Things that we need to do. So, baptism is a commandment. Is church attendance a commandment? I'm asking. Yeah. No, it's not. No, just kidding. It is. Yeah. It surely is. There's all kinds of commands. We seek to man God's word and do what He tells us to do. So He says, this is my commandment, verse 23. That we believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, did y'all notice that? This is his what? Is to believe on Jesus a command? Yes. I'm asking you. Yes. It is a command. You know what? You know what? People view it as an option. They don't view it as a command. Let me say it one more time. This is his commandment. It's a commandment. Commandment from who? From God. What does he want us to do? That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's a command. I read that command out of the Bible. Now let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to mind the command? In order to do that, you have to trust Jesus, don't you? You got to trust Jesus. Can I ask you a question? Have you obeyed that command? Have you obeyed it? Have you believed on Jesus? It's a what again? It's a command. So to break one of his commands, I think that would be the worst breaking of a command there is. What you need to do today or this evening is you need to trust him as your Savior. You see, look at it again, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Believe on him, which means to trust in him. Say, Lord, I want to trust that you died for me and rose again the third day. And what will he do? He'll save you. He'll save you. So that was the first commandment he gave in verse 23, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. And what else does he tell you to do? Love one another. As he gave commandment. God's people are to love one another. And that's historically, that's what they're known for. Their enemies would write about these Christian people. And one of the things their enemies would say about them, those people sure do love one another. That was a testimony of their enemies. The testimony of their enemies. And they should see that in us today. We sure do love one another. We sure do love one another. Okay? All right. Verse 24, and I'll stop with verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him. Who dwells in him? God dwells in him. So we seek to mind his commands, what he tells us to do. First command is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a command. We view it as an option. It's not optional. You need to believe it. Trust it. Ask the Lord to save you. And he that keeps his commands dwells in him. He that keeps his commands dwells in him. Belongs to the Lord. Hey, beloved, I belong to the Lord. I belong to him. That's a great belonging to someone, isn't it? I belong to him. He paid a great price for me. Did we deserve that price that was made? No. Why did he do it for us for? He loves you. Man, nobody loves you like he does. And he that keeps his commands dwells in him, and he in him. And hereby we do know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Holy Spirit gives you confidence, I think. The Holy Spirit gives you confidence. He helps you to know. The Holy Spirit took up abode in our heart the day we was born again. Aren't you glad? The Spirit of God dwells in us. He dwells in us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Everywhere we go, the Lord is with us. How long does he stay with us? Yeah, he does. He sure does. He's with us forever. He took up abode in you the day you... Listen, he took up abode in you the day you was born again. And just like he says in Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. All God's people say it. We'll stop with that.